Welcome to the homily studio for Sunday, the 17th of March. Happy St. Patrick's Day, but it's not because it's Sunday.
That's right.
Fortunately, St. Patrick gets nudged off to tomorrow, I think. But so it's the fifth Sunday of Lent. Wherever you are listening, you are welcome. Who do we have in this conversation today?
So I'm Lucienne Hensel. I'm calling from Wellington, a part of the church mission team in the Archdiocese, and a wife and mother of three.
And not a wife and mother of three, but Chris Duthie Young, also from Church Mission in Wellington. So you've got a double dose of us Wellingtonians today. So good to
I will do,
be
I'll do my best. People who are
here.
listening, praying for me. Let's begin in prayer. Realizing again that our prayer is not trying to twist the arm of God to do our will, but relaxing into the divine will for us. Aware of our own agendas and our own needs and opening our minds and hearts. As we pray in the entrance antiphon for this Sunday, give me justice, O God, and plead my cause against a nation that is faithless. From the deceitful and cunning, rescue me, for you, O God, are my strength. Give me justice, O God, and plead my cause against a nation that is faithless. From the deceitful and cunning, rescue me, for you, O God, are my strength. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You, O God, are my strength. Well, there's a good start. What have
Yes.
we to say about these scriptures for the fifth Sunday in Lent?
Well, perhaps at the start, it's good to point out that although we are not in year A, we have chosen to reflect on the gospel of year A, which is the gospel that a parish would use today if there are scrutinies, if there are people preparing for baptism in the parish.
So we have a wonderful story today. I've got to say, not only are we having to pick our gospels, but there's two versions of that gospel too, the longer and the shorter version I see there. But it's such a wonderful story as I reread it in preparation and reflected, and I thought, what a truly human story it is with all that goes on in it, the different characters and things. So yeah, look forward to unpacking with you guys a bit more about just what it has to say to us.
Now, Chris, we're not going to let you away with just introducing it. Say something about it. What moved you in it?
Indeed, it's the hesitations and things that I love. It's Martha and Mary pouring out their hearts. It's Jesus weeping, but still in no urgency to go and do something about the situation so early on. Clearly having a time frame which is different to what others would expect at that time. Clearly having in mind something quite different than what they're thinking is happening and will happen. And just how that plays out with those human emotions, the Martha and Mary contributions in the story, I just find beautiful how they both look forward to Jesus, what they're feeling and thinking about this, and are only partially on board with what he is going to do. It's almost like they haven't figured out that trust to the level that they will. So it's an opening salvo for your
Yeah,
job.
no, that's good. Well done, Chris.
I have to say that as I reflected on this gospel, I was thinking very much of a personal situation. I have a friend at the moment who's very sick with cancer, and her husband just yesterday messaged me and said, we're still praying for a miracle, just need God to show up. And so as I was reflecting on this, the idea of Jesus getting the message that Lazarus is ill, and yet waiting for 2 days before he does anything. And of course, that being in order that God may be glorified. But that just really got me thinking about my friend and the times when we are waiting for God to do something. And of course, then when he does turn up, you've got Martha and Mary both saying, basically, where were you? Why didn't you come sooner? Our brother would not have died. And of course, then Jesus, as is in fact promised in that first reading of Ezekiel, is going to open the grave and he's going to raise Lazarus up. So yeah, I couldn't help just thinking of my friend and just having that hope, I guess, that the Lord will open the grave for her.
One of the things that Pope Benedict, in his three-volume Jesus of Nazareth, which is a wonderful exegesis of the entire scriptures, one of the things that he says about the raising of Lazarus is that Lazarus was resuscitated, not raised from the dead, because the poor guy had to die all over again later. So he was simply brought back to human life. So this is not like preempting the resurrection of Jesus. This is Lazarus being brought back into human existence. It's an interesting point. I'd never thought about it before I'd read it.
In fact, I'd always thought that that was what people said when they wanted to say this is how Jesus did his miracles. He knew someone was in a coma, kind of, he raised them. But no, you're quite right. Resuscitated, you actually have died. I mean, but for all intents and purposes, in fact, for a few days. So, yeah, okay, that let Benedict have that one.
Very generous with this.
It's good.
I love the they say that it is a fact that the shortest verse in the entire scriptures is in this gospel. Jesus wept. It's the two words. Now, there's enough for a full homily or retreat even in there. Jesus, a reminder of the humanity of Jesus. And most of us, I think, much of the time struggle with the idea of Jesus being human, but it's actually our humanity. We struggle with ourselves. But most of us are quite happy with an orientation towards a future divine life in which we will share. But it's the messy, ordinary humanness. And we're not talking about the sinfulness. But even our humanness, the fact that we get tired and we get angry and we get hungry and lonely, something that Jesus has experienced. So, the suffering here of grief, and I know that many people who are listening will have that grief very raw from the loss of someone they love through death or a breakdown of a relationship. But we cannot say, as the people of the Old Testament could say, God doesn't know what it's like to be human. We can't say
Yeah,
because
no, that's
our
right.
God in Jesus has been hungry and angry and lonely and tired and tearful,
Yeah,
feeling emotions.
that's right. And the response to those tears is fascinating. Some of them see how he loved him, and others, well, why didn't he do something then? If he could do all those other things, come on, it kind of, and it's that again, human wrestling with that grief and what it means. And then Jesus' own response to that, he was perturbed again. It's really that humanness comes through, that humanity so strongly. That's, I think, what I mean by being a, such a powerful human story, the Son of God as well. Yeah, right.
Yes, if I can shift the gaze on perhaps on Mary and Martha for a moment, because that's another aspect of this gospel that I love. Of course, we always think of Mary and Martha in the other story, when Jesus has visited them and Mary sits at his feet and Martha's too busy, distracted with many things. And you know, here we've got this encounter with maybe Martha is again the one who's, you know, she's the one that's gone out there and Mary's stayed at home. And then we get this beautiful encounter with Jesus where she essentially she declares her belief in him as the Son of God. And this is really, we just see a woman of great faith. First, she, you know, she says, he wouldn't have died if you had been here. And she says, oh, I know that at the end, you know, in the last days, he will rise again. But then when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, she states her belief, which in the other three gospels is something that is, we see Peter doing. But in
Yes.
this particular gospel, it is Martha who makes that declaration, which, yeah, I love.
Yeah.
Do you know, Jesus would have had a good alternative to raising or bringing Lazarus back to life. Imagine if he'd arrived there and Lazarus had died, been dead for 3 days already, and Jesus had opened heaven and revealed to Martha and Mary and the people Lazarus fully happy in heaven to such an extent that Martha and Mary and the friends would have said, "Ah, that's wonderful. He is in the right place." That would have been great, but it wasn't what they were asking for. Jesus did what they were asking for. Like they just wanted him not dead. If he had been here, he wouldn't have died. So Jesus
Sure.
gave them what they wanted, not what might have ultimately been the best thing, because they would have been completely satisfied with the door of heaven opening and them looking in and seeing happy Lazarus. It's an extraordinary thing. And that what an encouragement that is for us, because often our prayer is lacks of vision, and we simply pray that it'll be fine tomorrow, or that the boss won't turn up at work today. You know, we just pray these, this is what I need. God can do that. And God's kind of say, well, I can actually do better, but if that's what you want. And that means too that sometimes our prayer is not big enough. We're simply praying that the boss won't turn up, or that you know, my husband and wife will change their ways, or but there's actually something bigger, and that's what faith introduces us to.
And there's a freedom in that too, isn't there, John, that Jesus is determined to protect. It takes me back to last Tuesday, it's the same week, when the gospel had Jesus at the pool, and the guy was lying there wanting to be healed, and Jesus' first words to him were not, "Get up," but, "Do you want to be healed?" Gave him the option. So in that reading last Tuesday, we saw how Jesus allowed the man's freedom and asked him, did he want to be healed? And then in today's gospel, this Sunday's gospel, we see this wonderful opportunity, as John shared, about them getting to choose what it is they want in the situation, which might not be as big as what Jesus himself.
Yeah, and what comes to mind about that is also that, I mean, God waits for us to ask because God desires relationship. He, it's not like me with my little baby where I see what the baby needs and I do it without any, conversation or encounter. Jesus is looking for that encounter also. So, he's
Absolutely.
and this is I just love that sense of encounter with Martha and again with Mary then.
Absolutely.
But also if I can just make one other point, I just love how when Jesus is praying before he raises Lazarus, he makes this, John tells us that he says, "Father, I thank you for hearing my prayer. I knew that you would always hear me, but I speak for the sake of all these who stand around me, that they may know." So it's that sense of everything he did was intentional to show the Father, to help those around him to believe. And it takes me back again to that first reading from Ezekiel, which says, "And you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves."
Fabulous,
So, what is the ultimate goal? It is to show us the Father so that we may know the Lord and have life in its fullness and have eternal life.
Yeah, you get
And
the
have,
impression. Oh, sorry.
no, and have that relationship.
Absolutely. You get the impression that Jesus wouldn't even need to use words here, but he does the
Yes,
words because human
exactly.
beings need to hear the words. And it intrigues me.
Yes.
It makes me think for all you preachers out there who will preach on Sunday, Now, this is why you're preaching, is because we need to hear these words. We need to hear you not even just repeating Jesus, but breaking it open in the real world that those people who will sit in your churches need to hear. It's a real justification for the art of doing homilies. Can I make a suggestion too that I believe with Lent nearly over, with Easter coming, this gospel occurs to me to possibly be one of the most hugely potential gospels to be read by parts, by people. If it's not too late in your parish, if it was my parish, I'd be hunting down two women, perhaps two other males, given not acting things out, but putting some good reading into this, because the story is so powerfully human, and let two women do the Mary and Martha parts, much as we often do around Holy Week. It just might be a nice way to lead into that sort of thing at Easter, and it would bring this gospel to life for you to be able to preach with them, those of you who are listening. Just a thought. Now, we've lost John. You may have wondered why Lucian and I are on our own now. We've lost John because he's on a very weak connection in Australia, actually. So it's down to us to include this session. So, Lucian, anything else you wanted to add, or should we leave it there for this week?
Yeah, I think we'll leave it there.
Okay, can I invite you then just to perhaps close our time in prayer?
Sure.
Thank you.
So we pray especially for all those who will be preaching this Sunday, who will be speaking those words of life and breaking them open, so that we may know the Lord. We may come to know the Lord in a new way, in a deeper way, through this gospel. And Lord, we thank you for being the giver of life. And we come to you and bring to you all those areas in our lives where perhaps we do need you to raise us from the grave. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.